Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. Inspiring stories that change lives. Where ordinary heroes tell their extraordinary stories of how they have triumphed over unexpected challenges. This is where we say what can't be said and use the AAA formula for freedom. Awareness, acceptance, and action. Now, here's your host, Hillary Burns.
Hello, and welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where we talk about what we don't think we can say and our AAA formula for action for freedom, awareness, acceptance, and action. So today I want to introduce my new sponsor. I'm very excited. It's called Kikori App, where they make corporate team building and school social and emotional learning fun. You can help your teams or your students create community and connection through this social emotional learning app. And it's not just one more thing on your plate, but it's fun for you, your students, or your corporate teams. Visit kikoriapp.com, which is K-I-K-O-R-I app.com. And I know this company intimately since my daughter works for them. It's an amazing company. And if you want to go to the interview with Bryn Lottig, it's a few weeks ago, she talks about what the company is doing and how their app can reverse the effects of COVID on our children's socialization. So I recommend it highly, kikoriapp.com for more information. And today, I'm also excited to introduce my guest, Danielle Schachter. She is a marketing professional. She's married and has two dogs. And we're going to talk about a variety of topics. I'm excited to introduce Danielle. Thank you, Danielle, for being here.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. This is my first, anything in the world being recorded. And I'm freaking out because it's like, it's forever. You know, everything you like record or say is forever. So I'm super nervous, but thanks for having me.
Yes. And you know what? It's great because we're just going to have a conversation and have some fun. And if we make mistakes,
Hey,
it's good for others to see. They can feel better about themselves. That's what I like to say, because I love when other people make mistakes and it's not me. Makes me feel like I'm not the only one scooping up. So anyway, all right. So before, when we were planning, I know, we're going to talk about your being a marketing professional later in the show and how you help your clients look good, which is really a great thing. And let's talk first about the people pleasing, because as I was telling you, I started the Getting Real with Hillary show because I was a people pleasing, pretending phony who was always like pretending I was happy, not, and, never spoke up, never wanted conflict, went along with what anyone said, and never really had the life I wanted. So I started Getting Real with Hillary to put my real self at risk, and it's not always comfortable. But tell me about your people pleasing, Danielle.
Sure. I could talk about this topic for hours because it is such a huge part of my identity, really. Up until, 3 years ago, my vision of myself, I didn't really know who I was, if that makes sense.
Totally.
It was all about the community. What do you want? What do you want? What does Jane want? What, and I just didn't know who I was. And so that's what life is about for me now, discovering who is Danielle. And I'll tell some stories. But before that, a lot of times I just need to slow down, silence the outside chatter and check in with me and check in with this identity, Danielle, and be like, wait a minute, what do I want? What kind of food do I want to eat tonight? What kind of movie do I want to see? It all goes back to childhood. So I can tell some fun stories if you'd like.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question that's popping in for me. before, so I don't know if you said 3 years ago, did you get married before you decided to not be a people pleaser? So
yes, like,
and how did your husband react when you started being different?
Yeah, no, I did get married before I was a people pleaser. And actually and my husband is so great. So great. Something happened after I got married, like this different me emerged, like one that isn't so nice all the time. You know what I'm saying? So, he's, you know, we both do a lot of, personal development courses, and we're both, we have really great communication. So if I'm nasty, if I say it, you know, I can be nasty. So if I'm nasty, it doesn't necessarily mean like, the words don't always mean what flies out of my mouth, if that makes sense. Like I might say something like a curse word or something, or, you know, F you, I might say F you, but the F you doesn't really mean F you. It means I'm tired or I'm hungry or, you know, something like that. And we kind of, he's just great dealing with because for so long I was so like, how can I help you? How can I help you? You know? And I did a course years ago. And I think this was one of my first personal development courses. And I'm up at the front of the room with the leader, and she goes, why are you smiling at me? Like, I was like, yes, 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 whatever you want. And she's like, what's that smile about? You're giving me an F you. Like, she goes, what's with the F you foot? And that was really the first time I saw that this, like, you know, like stand in the corner and look pretty and happy, like that's not real. That's not always real. So I'm really learning to tap into, it's not like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? So.
Yeah. So yes,
there you
are. Well, I want to go back to what made you 3 years ago stop doing that. But I just want to tell you a story first, because sure. I was the same way. I was also in personal development, and I was going in to help in a room, and the guy said, I can't let you in. And I said, why not? You know, I'm fine. And he's like, no, you're not. And I was like, no, I'm fine. You know, like in my world, I was fine. Right. What are you talking about? And so he kept saying, no, I can't. So finally he was like, I said, you know, I'm fine. I don't know why you're not letting me in. And he goes, well, tell your face. I always think, tell your face. I was so used to pretending that I was fine and not saying anything. I didn't even know I was in a bad mood or what the heck he was talking about. Mm-hmm. So I just really laugh about that always still to this day. Tell your face, because I was fine. And he told me there was a phrase in that organization called, I said, well, I don't know. I don't even know what you want me to do. And he goes, get off it. You've heard that phrase, right?
Yeah, get off it.
Yeah. Like kind of let it go, you know, like come back, find humor again in life, you know, like get out of that place. And I was like, well, I don't know how. And he goes, well, you just say, get off it and get off it and get off it and get off it until you start laughing. And then I finally started laughing, and then he let me in. But, you know, it was just a new concept to me that I wasn't fine. I thought I was fine, you know? So anyway, okay. So let's go back to you. So made you 3 years ago?
I think all of this personal development was a big part of it. Like looking at how I show up for others in conversations, that really just discovering more about me. So I do think it's really helpful, whether it's therapy or personal development or a coach, having someone that's like kind of objective to talk to and kind of learn more about ourselves that way. So,
and what was the thing that did it for you? Like, do you remember a specific moment where you go, whoa, I'm not going to do that anymore? Or do you remember?
Yeah, it was a series of moments and stories, actually. Like, and I'll share with you another story. It was just, I guess, sharing about myself with others and then remembering things that I did or said or behaviors, and then being like, oh, that's who I am, you know, like seeing myself that way through sharing.
Like, what's an example?
So I've been in marketing for, you know, over 20 years. And one example was one of my first jobs out of college. I worked for a nonprofit and in marketing, and I had my own little office. And the director, I guess it was like the CEO, was like a nice gentleman. He comes by my office and he goes, "Oh, Danielle, I just made a tea. Would you like a tea?" And I was so afraid of saying no. Like Danielle didn't want a tea. Like I didn't want a tea. And I said, "Yeah, sure. I'll take your tea." And so I'm taking the tea when I don't freaking want the tea. So it's like, I just was so afraid of saying no, like that's not going to work for me, or no, I don't want to eat that. Or I don't, you know, like just, and half the time it was,
yes,
like yeah. Half the time for me, it's slowing down and looking, do I want the tea? Do I not want the tea? You know,
I remember a story about that. If you don't mind my interrupting, there was a guy, and I don't know, he had a house in the Hamptons, you know, and he loved to go outside in the cold at night. And I hated it. Like I wanted to be inside where it was warm, but of course I went because I didn't want to be high maintenance and I wanted him to like me, you know. And I remember, you know, doing a lot of things like that because they wanted to, even though it wasn't, I didn't even know I could say no. You know, hey, why don't we do something else? That wasn't even on my radar at the time. So I totally get the tea thing. So anyway, what were you going to say? Back to you.
Yeah, no. And I'm seeing now that I can contribute. So before I was so afraid to say no, I was just afraid. And then, but now I see that by saying no or changing plans, or I'm actually contributing, I'm actually, you know, giving a piece of myself to the other human being. Whereas before it was whatever the other agendas are, is what I'm going to take on. And so now I actually get to, it's okay to say no. It's okay to choose a different movie that you want to see it, you know, and so many friends of mine deal with this. Like a lot of the stories I hear are like, you know, I'm mad at Jane because Jane wanted to go out for Thai food, but I didn't want to go out for Thai food. And so this is my listening, but I really wanted to go out for sushi and I didn't communicate that. And so I don't know, but I feel like some people out there in the world may be dealing with this, that, you know, there's other people's agendas, and how do you have that happy balance of, you know, supporting other people's agendas and contributing with your own, you know?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's really, I think it's a big deal for people like us who, for whatever reason, ended up being people pleasers. When I got divorced and my ex would want to do something, and I would say, because I hated saying no, same thing. And so I learned to say, well, I can either make you happy or I can make me happy.
Right.
Which should I do? Mm-hmm. And he would say, make you happy. And I would say, okay, the answer is no, I don't want to do that. And so that's what helped me. Another thing, just looking back as you were talking, like I have a phrase now that I can have my life work. So if somebody, like, let's say two things are at the same time and I want to do both, I can say, hey, can we make this one an hour later?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it's not a problem, but those were things I never would have done before because I don't know why, like frozen in my head, you know, mm-hmm. Frozen in the people pleasing zone. Totally. So, yeah. So what other examples do you have where you started speaking up?
Yeah. Something came, you know how thoughts come in, great. Yeah. Thoughts, and then they go out, but I was with you over there. Yeah. I'm just thinking, yeah, where did I start speaking up? Oh, a tip for people that I use is, it's probably going to be a no, you know, like when someone invites me to something and I'm not sure, I go, it's probably going to be a no. And if I change my mind, I'll get back to you, or I'll let you know later, because my default word was yes. Like just yes across the board to things I didn't want to do. Yes was just like my default answer. And then my calendar would be full of things that I really didn't care about. So now when it's a decision making, like I'm not sure, I say, you know, I'm not sure, it's probably a no, but if it's a yes, I'll let you know. So that's one of my tips.
That's great.
That's really helped me a lot.
And it probably helps them because they're not counting on you. So then you're not causing a disappointment over there when you don't show up.
Exactly.
Or if you show up begrudgingly, you're miserable anyway, right? So
yes, yeah, so,
that's great.
So my identity until this discovery was I was angry, like really angry, because I was saying yes and filling my life up with things that were not yeses. And then I'm smiling because I think that's what I'm supposed to do. But underneath, it's a big, I hate this. I don't want to be here. You know, I want to be over there. But, you know, most of the time I found when I give a maybe answer, either a maybe answer or a no, I look back and I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't go to that party. Like, I'm so glad, because there were other things that were more, you know, at the time, more important, or priorities that showed up.
Mm. See, I used to give maybes when I didn't want to, and people didn't like that. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So it was harder to say no, but it was better for them.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that mechanism is that we can't say no is just weird, right?
Yeah.
Why can't we?
So that's a great societal question.
Where did that come from?
Right. So who made somebody decided that yes was better than no? So, but yeah. They're the same. It's the same value. A yes or a no is the same value. And somewhere humans along the line, or at least in this conversation, decided that yes, saying it was better to say yes to people than no to people.
Right. But it's actually worse. Right. If you say yes and you mean no.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say no, it's over.
Right.
If you say yes and then you don't show up, mm-hmm. you've kept this problem and made it worse.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're not going to show up. You're going to go begrudgingly. You're going to have a bad attitude. And mm-hmm. they probably would have been better off if you had just said, no, that doesn't work for me or something, right? Isn't it interesting? It's very interesting.
Oh, interesting. And I see how people work it out. It's so hard for me to say no, but the minute I give a no, okay, they find another professional to do what they need.
Yeah.
Or if you're saying no to a romantic relationship, they go and find the love of their life somewhere else. You know, people work it out. I've found that there are more humans out there. So I'm not the only being who can fulfill on what, you know, what you're asking. We've got lots of people lined up. So if it's not me, you're going to find somebody else. So why is it so hard for us to say no?
Right. There was, I was out in Denver. I was doing a weekend course over there. And some guy said he was interested in me. And all of a sudden I was like, I was like, not present. And so then we had, I don't know, we had this big circle and I said to someone, you know, what do I do? I'm not interested. And they were like, tell him. I'm like, I didn't know I could do that. They're like, yeah. So I got the courage and I said, you know, thank you. And I'm not interested. And he was like, okay, thanks. And like you said, move to the next person. Like there was nothing on him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Why did I think I was so darn important that I
mm-hmm. take that?
So that's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And then I'm carrying all this like guilt and shame and like, I'm not good. Almost. Yeah. It's that I do a lot of, I'm not good enough. So I'm not good enough to wait. Yeah. It's like, I have to give you a yes somehow. So yeah, I could talk about this all day long, but in my discoveries, so in my family, there's a lot of, you know, what do I want to say? So I'll just say it like it is. I'm Jewish and there's like kind of a phrase that I picked up. It was like, you got three Jews and you get five opinions. So there's like, so there's all the, my, a big part, I'm sure a big part of my life and my culture is da 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 da, and all these opinions flying around. Mm. So in that world, how do we, like, so it was like, who am I? What do I think? And a lot of group conversations and going back and forth to, you know, multiple parties to come up with like a simple decision, like, you know, where to go out to dinner is like a whole thing, a whole conversation.
Wow. So, you know, because I'm Jewish too, and everyone had an opinion. I wonder if that's why it was so hard because I was trying to keep everyone happy. Mm-hmm. Were you? I don't know if you were.
Yeah. So I don't want to, what do I want to say? There are phrases like the parental child. I guess I kind of was in a lot of ways, like me, you know, and
it's the not what?
The parental child, like a child who takes on, you know, like takes on roles that maybe are before their time, like,
oh, okay,
like trying to make everybody happy, or, you know, mom comes in and mom's really upset and the child is like, you know, trying to like care for the mom. So all of those things, and it's not right or wrong. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong the way kids should grow up and the way parents should be. But in my, you know, I've been watching some of my childhood videos, and a lot of those videos I was putting on shows like, you know, like putting on like puppet shows and, you know, and I'm the announcer and all of that. And there was a lot of that in my childhood. I'm sure I brought it on myself that it was like, make everybody happy, let's put on a good show. You know, let's.
But did you like it? I mean, did you like doing that, or were you doing it for another reason?
No. I loved it. Like, oh, okay. And kids do, you know, kids put on puppet shows and things like that. But a lot of my videos were me like, let me razzle dazzle you. Yeah. So let's, yeah. And I've taken that on. I used to do a lot of public speaking, and I would walk into the room and let's shake everybody up, razzle dazzle, you know, and I'm sure a big part of that was, like, I've got to make everybody happy. And, and again, it's okay to be sad. So why did I take on, and I don't know why it just happened. Why did I take on this? Like, it's not okay for adults to be stressed. It's not okay mm-hmm. for adults to cry. And I'm the child, and I've got to put on a happy show and make everybody happy.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I have that. Like, I'm coming up with a title for my second book, and I think it's going to be, Don't Tell Me to Be Happy. Like, giving us permission to not be.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you know, if I wasn't perky and peppy, as my mother says, she would try to get me perky and peppy. Like, she couldn't just leave me alone to let me work myself out of it. She had to fix me to get to that. And I don't know. I think it was that generation.
Oh, it's totally a generational thing. And that could lead into my next story.
Okay.
The history story about, you know, I've been learning a lot about my family, and a funny story. And a lot of these things are generational things for sure. So funny story, my great great grandfather wrote a book about my family history. And it's not like a big book, but it's, you know, it's a little book. And he wrote it in, I believe he wrote it in his 90s. And I believe that everybody should write a book, because we're all different and we all have amazing stories. So anyway, so he wrote this book, and I honestly, I didn't even read the whole thing, but I skimmed it. And it was all about the 1800s and the early 1900s. And so I went to Key West. I'm in Florida. I went on, this was like 2 years ago. I'm on vacation in Key West, and I pull up the book on my iPhone. I'm looking at the book, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I wake up and something weird happened. I started Googling, and I found one of my like long lost cousins. So she's around my age, and she did her thesis. I found her thesis online, and she wrote about my family history. This is at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'm wow.
And I sent her an email, and I said, I think we're related. I think you and I are related. So, and we are related. And so I brought together two big branches of my family, and now we do family Zooms, like through a distant cousin. Like,
how did you find her?
I Googled.
Like, what was the connection?
I think I Googled my great grandfather's name,
oh, okay.
and it pulled up her college thesis. And so her thesis was all about the history of my family. And it's just so funny. So being Jewish, I'll just go into the Jewish thing. Being Jewish, my grandparents and great grandparents did all these amazing things for the world, right? But they never spoke about it. Like, and I don't understand.
Yeah. Like what?
They never, my grandfathers never spoke about their army service. Like one was a bomber in World War II, and he never spoke about it. So I really don't know much about it. My other grandfather did Morse code in World War II. And they just, I guess it was like, it was either a Jewish thing. Like you keep hush, hush. Like, I'll tell you another story that I didn't know.
Don't brag, you mean?
Yeah. Don't brag. Like you just, so my great grandfather was a wealthy man, and they were badass. Like they did all kinds of things, and I didn't know anything about it. He funded ships to help Cuba's revolution from Spain. And I didn't, and had connections, you know, with all, Jose Marti and all of these people. Actually, I think like lived next door to like one of these big important people in Cuba's revolution. And so they just never spoke about it because everything was hush hush. We got to like keep it on the down low, and we can't let everybody know what we're doing. But their involvement in Cuba's revolution was because it's an important thing to do. Like it was like a humanitarian cause. So that's just fascinating. And yeah, very interesting stories. Like Florida was like the wild, wild west back then. You know, they
this
had
the 1800s still.
Yeah. In the 1800s, my great grandmother was born in Key West in 1901. And they were just like badass with weapons and cigar factories. And yeah.
Well, it is interesting because you think of like a great grandmother or whatever as an old little lady, right? You don't think of them as people.
Right.
Because if we knew our grandparents, they were old by that time.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't think of like your great grandmother with a gun, you know?
Right. So. Or even as a young woman, right? They're just old. So,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, wow. but we have my family, we have letters from presidents. We have like all kinds of stuff. And so now we're doing like Zoom calls where we show the like 1,000 old photos and everybody's commenting. Oh yeah, that's my grandfather. That's my, so yeah. So I'm amazing. Blessed that I have some cousins that, you know, they're in their 90s now and they still remember stuff. So that's a passion of mine for humanity is you never know how cool your great grandparents were. So, So if you have, you know, if you're interested in that, there's definitely a cousin somewhere out there in the world that could probably tell you a cool story.
Yeah. So what would you, we got 2 minutes before our little break here.
Sure.
What would you recommend if somebody wants to find out how cool their grandparents are, where would they go for that?
I mean, if you know that there's some interesting stories, you could just start Googling like names of your great, you know, your great, great grandparents. You could also, I haven't done, you know, ancestry.com or any of those, but you definitely could do that too. And there are a lot of things in they have the death certificates, they have birth records. So there's all kinds of records out there that would help you put the pieces together.
Wow. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my nephews put a family tree together, so I'm going to leave it in his hands. But yeah, that's it's
and everybody, cool. Everyone, but I know we're gonna go on break. Everybody's yeah. family always has one person that's like the guru of the family tree. So
yeah.
Find that person and talk to them.
That's right. If it's not you, find the person who wants to do
I have
it.
Like two gurus.
Yeah. So. Awesome. All right, thank you. And we're gonna take our little break now, and then we'll be back with Danielle Schechter.
Are you inspired? Are you living a life story you are proud to tell? Are you actively pursuing and creating the life of your dreams? Well, if not, you really need Hillary's AAA program for freedom. Just visit gettingrealwithhillary.com and schedule a time with Hillary today.
All right, we're back with Danielle Schachter, and just another thanks to KokoriApp.com. Go there for more information about social and emotional learning for your students or corporate teams. So now we can talk about what you do for others with your as a marketing professional. You help your clients look good.
Yes.
And you do all the things that I've been looking for someone to do for so long, and have hired a lot of people who didn't necessarily know what they were doing. So what makes you, what you do, I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot, I'm assuming you're good. What makes what you do so much better than all these other people I've hired that really took, you know, I gave them my money. They didn't steal it from me, but we didn't get the results that they had promised. So
yeah,
tell me about what you do.
That's a hard question to answer, because the marketing world is very complex, especially now with all the digital things. So yeah, I guess my answer to that is you could have like easily 30 experts that do different things in the field of marketing: SEO, SEM, graphic design, video editor, somebody who's good on this website, somebody who's good on that website. So because my answer to that is because the technology is so complex, each website is its own thing. That's why sometimes these professionals don't perform the way you expect them to. Because, for example, let's say your website's in Squarespace and you hire someone who's not an expert in Squarespace. And then, you know, they might know a different platform, but like getting them, you know, up to date on your platform might take a learning curve. So that's what I would say is, I don't like to brag, but I am very tech savvy. Self-taught in a lot of systems. So it depends how complex it is tech wise, but I can probably learn something very fast. And if you have a large budget and you want to hire, you know, an expert for each of your systems that you have, go ahead. But that would probably be my answer, is sometimes in the marketing world, you have to learn a new system, and there's a learning curve to that.
So, well, I think, you know, I remember when I was in business school and you know, economics, it's like there would be one theory and then there'd be another theory, and nobody really understood how it worked. I would think that marketing is a little bit like that in this new social, whatever we call it, social something age, that nobody really knows what's going to work, right?
Yeah, I'll explain it to you guys. It's kind of like a restaurant. You have the front end, which is like, you got the front end and the back end. So the front end is nice for customers and it's beautiful, but the back end is like, you got plates flying around and a messy kitchen in the back. So marketing is just like that, if you think about it, because we have all of these back end systems and they're built by engineers, and they're, each one is different. So yeah, that would be my answer. And I do get that a lot of times, like, Danielle, the last person I hired was like, I paid them all this money and they didn't fulfill on what I said. So I know that a lot of people are dealing with that. You know, I paid them all this money and they didn't fulfill. And how did you do that? How did you come up? So I guess.
Even like, let's say, like, let's forget the back end for a second. Right. I get that that's tough, but not everybody knows how to do a front end.
Right. So
then it doesn't matter what the back end is doing, because like what I have, you know, someone looked at it and it goes, well, this, you know, like, let's say someone goes to gettingrealwithhillary.com. It doesn't say anything. Like, I say book a consultation. So they could click it and book one, but it doesn't tell what it's about and all that. And I'm just like, ugh, you know what? I'll deal with it sometime, you know, because it's beyond me to know who do I hire? Who knows what they're doing? Who can make it look better? Like, I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. Right. So how do you know? Like,
how do I know? I mean,
How do you know what's like, let's say you're designing a front end. How do you know?
How do I know? Well, a lot of it is good. I'm good. I am. I'll tell you a story before I answer that. I did a personal development. I just have to tell the story because it explains. I did a personal development course. Right. Yeah. And I'm reading something, I'm reading the slides on the, you know, the projector. And I told the course leader something like, that doesn't make sense or something, or there was a grammar mistake. And she looked at me, you probably know them, but she looked at me and she goes, are you a graphic artist? And I was like, How did you know that? It's because there, you know, I'm a designer, I'm an artist, I have a good eye. So it's a good eye for design. So that's what I would explain to people. There's techie people, there's design people. You kind of want to have both. Somebody who has a good eye for, you know, commas, and you can kind of just see the whole picture.
But you must, I know we're going to talk about your teachers later. You must also be able to design things. Like my daughter can make things look beautiful. Not me. It's just not there. You must also have that you know how to make things that look good, or you can come up with a design, like a logo or a brand,
of course,
or whatever, right?
Yeah. Writing, what's a good email subject line, looking at a paragraph, does this paragraph, is it going to call to the eye? A lot of my work is what's going to call to the eye. Should we put this on the right-hand side? Should we put this on the left-hand side? The eye typically goes to the right, you know? So like in an ad, and I learned this in school, in an ad, most times the logos are on the lower right-hand side because that's where the eye goes. So a lot of it is just knowing it's a good eye for design. And I'd say.
So you learned some of it in school.
Yes.
And you must have a natural ability, right? Like, how else would you know? Like, I wouldn't know where the eye goes, you know?
Right. So yeah, that's part of my training is, you know, in advertising, you know, and some of it is so ingrained in me. I don't even know where I got this from, but in school they taught us, you know, all your logos go in the lower right-hand corner. So, and then there's like motivators and ads. So like, and I'm going way back to college now. So like motivators for advertising, would be guilt, you know, making people feel guilty. I'm just trying to remember. There's different motivators in advertising. Guilt, jealousy, you know, so there is some like educational science between marketing, you know, behind marketing.
Well, what are the other ones? Do you remember?
I'd have to Google it for you right now, but like guilt.
It's like if you don't do it, like whatever that's called, like fear of loss.
Yeah, like fear of missing out. Like if you're watching a Jaguar ad, I'm sure they're pulling on like fear of missing out. I just remember guilt is one of them, but there are official motivators in advertising.
What's an example of guilt? Like how would you advertise for guilt?
Making you feel, Valentine's Day is coming up, you know, like don't forget to get your special lady or your, you know, and I worked in retail for many years. So I was in marketing and retail, and the biggest shopping seasons of the year, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas. Those are the biggest, but the motivators and the ads would be,
it's like, if you don't,
yeah, you're missing
not
out.
Not that you want to, but right. You don't want the consequences of not.
Exactly.
Wow. Interesting. Exactly.
So yeah, so that's something I would say when you might want to interview your person, your marketing person. I've seen a lot of people, I'll give you another example. So, I don't know if I should say this. I lost a gig to somebody else. Okay. I lost a gig to somebody else and I figured out who they were and I wanted to scope out my competition. And I'm looking at this girl's social and she's only been in marketing for like 2 years. So everybody says they're a marketer and her images are blurry. You know, I could easily tell there's certain file types. Like you always want to use a PNG file for online, so it's nice and clear. You don't want to use JPEG files. So there's rules behind some of this stuff. So like if somebody's like in HR and they decide, you know, that they're going to be a marketing consultant, you might want to interview them. How many years you've been doing this? So I've been doing this for a long time. And how do I know? How do I learn a system? I mean, there's some systems out there that are very complex.
WordPress.
Yeah. Like I haven't touched WordPress that much. What else? Keep by Infusionsoft. I heard that's very complex. Infusionsoft. I haven't touched that. There are some
Wix.
Wix is easier. There's, you know, I prefer to work on an interface that's like more like easy to just go, you know, just do it.
Like what? Like what's a good one?
I use Canva. I'm happy to share that with people. I love Canva, beautiful designs. That's what I use for a lot of my work. But even still, you know, entrepreneurs are always looking to save money. Even still, it helps to have a professional, like somebody who's, you know, knows how to design.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, that's my answer to the question.
It's good to ask how long you've been doing it. I probably should have asked those people how long they were doing it. And it would have saved me a lot of money and aggravation. And they've actually ghosted me, so I wouldn't even go back to them.
Right, exactly. And but, I hear the same stories. I hear you're telling the exact same story. One of my clients is like, oh, they locked me out of my website. Or like, or I can't get the Google files from them because they have all the passwords. Or like, yeah, it's so hard because you want to get your campaigns up and running. And it would be nice to like work with somebody who's not going to ghost you.
Right. And the guy was really good at sales. Yeah. You know, oh, because I was going to do it. And then I said no. And then he came back. You know, he was just good. And so I finally said yes. And it gave me hope, I have to say. It was when I had this course. They did design the course, but it never made any money. The marketing never worked. The only people that did the course were people I already knew. And of course I gave them a discount because they were friends. So I never made the money back. And it was just a real disappointment, you know? But at the same time, it was the next step and I'm where I'm at. I can't say I shouldn't have done it because I did it. But yeah, it's good to know the questions to ask if you are interviewing somebody. So thank you. Do you have any other questions that
ask the marketing person? How long have you been doing this? What line of work are you coming from? What software do you play in? What software do you love? Obviously, you know, they can send samples of their work, which I do. Yeah. Like, you know, even if it's just a few photos, like, could you just let's say they don't have a portfolio. Do you mind just texting me like a couple samples of your work? That would be great. So you can kind of see. But yeah, there was something.
Or how about references?
References, previous clients or professionally. But marketing is so huge now that I see people that are not trained, you know, and they're coming from other fields.
Yeah. So,
which, you know, it is what it is. That's what I was going to say. Everything is fine. Don't freak out because you are where you are in your business.
Right.
So you might find a professional that helped you get to the next step. And then you're going to go to the next step after that. And so nothing is ever really wrong. Nothing's wrong. It's just you found the person that was available to help when you needed them.
Right. And it's nothing's final, you know.
Right. You can, and nothing is final. You can always go back and redo your website or do another podcast or do another video. So nothing is really the end of the world, if that makes sense. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Unless that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Or I'm not the only one who didn't, it was, you know, they were fine and I didn't get the result that was promised or alluded to, you know, and there's no guarantees. So. Right. It's not like you can go back, but yeah, thank you for that. I'm sure there's
and marketing is so tricky because you don't know what's going to convert. Like, do you know what I mean?
Right. You don't
know what's going to convert to them taking out their credit card and paying or signing up. It's almost a chance game in a way. Like you do it again and again, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's a numbers game. It's a lot like sales. It is.
Yeah. And that's what I'm in. So I understand. Yeah. And sometimes you forget, you know, I have a new agent and she made one appointment for March and she's going to get all ready for it and stuff. And I'm like, all right, let's just put that aside for now. We need new ones. We need new prospects because that one might cancel, you know, so they focus, and I've done it too. We've all done it. Focus on that one instead of playing the numbers. So that's good to remember that as well.
Yeah. Like you always want to have, and I'm working on this too with my business. You always want to have your pipeline like for the next month and the next, because what if it's a quiet month and you want to be working with new prospects?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. All right. So what about, so thank you for that. That's very useful. And you were going to talk about your t-shirt business.
Oh, so I love.
Oh, and also working for your mom. So
what mom. Yeah, I'll talk about my mom in one sec. Okay. But I love art. I love design, if you can't tell. And I'm not sure yet, but I love animals. And I my favorite thing to do is, you know, I'm with my husband. We're watching TV on the couch and I'm designing. I'm designing like event invitations or t-shirts. Yeah, I've been, so I love cute holiday t-shirts. So I don't have it now unless I show you my phone, but I think one of my dreams, and we'll see it, I'm not there yet, but one of my dreams is to do maybe like holiday t-shirts and a portion of the proceeds goes to, you know, animal shelters or another cause that I'm passionate about. So that's something that I'm working on. And I really got that I'm an artist. It took me a while to own. I am an artist and designer and I love making things beautiful and I love making people happy. So we'll see what happens with the fashion idea. And
how do you do it? Like, do you do it on your iPad?
On my computer, I'm just playing with colors. I love colors and shapes, and there's so many different fonts and a font of, you know, at the end of the day, this evokes a feeling. The design it creates a feeling in the other person, whether it's a seasonal holiday card or a flyer for an upcoming event. Art evokes feelings. So marketing does that also. It creates a theme.
How did you not know you were an artist before?
I knew I worked in marketing, but I didn't have the insight that marketing is art. And that's what I'm calling my business right now. Marketing is art, because it is. And so I remember that moment. I was in one of our courses that you know, the courses that we do.
Yeah.
I was in one of those courses and I was like, oh my God, it was just, the veil was lifted. Oh my God, I'm an artist. I'm an artist. I'm an artist. And I started crying. And it just, it explains so much about me. The term artist explain like why I love like cool designs. Mm. You know, why am I just designing every chance I get? It's one of my favorite things to do.
Mm. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that's the t-shirt.
That's a teacher.
Your mom, working with your mom.
Yeah. My mom is a funny story. She was she's finally coming out of her COVID shell, but she was self-chose to like seriously lock herself up during COVID. And she is finally emerging slowly. She's finally emerging slowly from her 3 years. Has it been 3 years? I don't know, 2.5 years since COVID, I guess. March 2020 till now. So,
yeah, so it will be in March. It'll be 3 years. That's right. Amazing. Wow.
So my mom, I'm just getting in. I know we're running out of time, but my mom chose to lock herself up during COVID. And for the last week, she went to dinner twice for the first time out in a restaurant since March of 2020. And it's so amazing watching her like take these bites. Because she has been cooking like, you know, her salmon, her plain salmon and her plain steak or whatever, for eating the same thing for almost 3 years. And but this relates.
Did she have her food delivered or something? How did she get food?
She got groceries, but she didn't do prepared foods because she was very fearful about getting COVID from prepared foods.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, even though they say you can eat prepared foods and not get COVID, but so she was so fearful. So, but anyway, so she created a whole world on Zoom. So that was my point. Is I've been working for my mom and my other clients, but she created an entire interactive world. Like she does birthday parties. We do birthday parties on Zoom with like elaborate YouTubes and music and karaoke and what else? Slideshows. So we really developed like a whole webinar type thing, and she has me do birthday parties for people. So that means We look at their life. We pull photos from their, it's like a whole thing.
Is it a business or just for fun?
Well, she's compensating me for my time, but no, she's not charging people for the birthday
party. Wow.
But I'm sure we could do that. But
yeah.
She, all the people she loves, were creating pictures of their life, slideshow with their favorite music. And she's just a very generous person. We've been doing promo videos that she's been giving gifts to her friends. So I've been doing promo videos. Like, one of her friends is a Zumba teacher, and she loves the Zumba teacher so much that she's paying me to do promo videos for all her favorite people and help get them more business. So my mom, and now it's stopping because she's like done enough and she gets to work on her own business. But for a while there, we were doing all kinds of slideshows and birthday parties and gifts for people.
Wow. Now, how did you get, whenever we tried to sing on Zoom, you couldn't because you only have one voice. Did she get past that? Or was it just one person would be singing at once and everyone else would be muted?
There's some advanced audio settings that we had to do on Zoom because the sound didn't always come out right.
Yeah.
But like if you Google, you know, how to do a singing party on Zoom, I'm sure you'll find.
Right.
And there's also a website called Watch Together, and you can use it for karaoke. Like you can play a YouTube and you can do, and everybody can, you know, see the YouTube. And everybody can control the playlist at the same time. So that was, I actually did a karaoke party on Zoom at the beginning of COVID. It was really fun using the service Watch Together.
That's amazing. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It just sounded, whenever we tried, you know, we didn't do that much research, but it sounded terrible, you know?
Right. Or like we did stuff for workout teachers. I helped my mom with some workout videos. So I would say if you're going to be away from your computer, you need a special microphone. Like if you were going to do a dance party on Zoom and you're going to be like, or you're a workout teacher or something like that, and you want to broadcast on Zoom, you need a special microphone because otherwise the sound will be messed up.
You know what? I've had my microphone facing the other way the whole time. Isn't that funny? Thank you for, it's a little bit late in the game, but okay. Wow. Well, thank you, Danielle. This was so interesting. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to, I mean, you sound like you're totally an expert, and I know I wrote down, here it is. So if you want to contact Danielle, and I want to contact Danielle because definitely want someone who knows what they're doing and can make things look good. Go to, it's LinkedIn.
It goes to my LinkedIn.
Yeah. Okay. So tiny.cc. So /.
Yeah. /
Dani.
Danny Designs.
So Danny Designs. Danny is Dani Designs with an S. So yeah. tiny.cc/ Dani Designs.
Yes.
And you can also search on LinkedIn for Danielle Schachter. Schachter is
S-C-H-A-C-H-T-E-R.
Right.
And yeah, just shoot me a message. And I, you know, honestly, I get started with clients very quickly. So I kind of just jump right in and we see what's needed. The way I work is I prefer to give entrepreneurs the tools they need to succeed, give you the tools, you get up and running. And then if you need me again later, you contact me again. So that's kind of, I like having my hands, you know, in different places, different projects.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you, Danielle or Danny. Yeah. This was so much fun. I learned so much. I appreciate you coming on. And is there anything you want to say real quick in closing?
No, this was awesome. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Did you have fun?
Yes, this was great.
All right, good. All right. So once again, thank you to KikoriApp.com, KIKORIApp.com for sponsoring the show. Please check them out. Just such great activities for social and emotional learning for either corporate teams or for your students. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. We hope you're entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.